All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of the Justice Team Podcast. And today we're talking about how to operate your bi-coastal law firm. We have Yanni here, who is at 833-GET-YANNI.
That's right.
I think of that.
That's right. Thank you. Well, then it's working. Finally, someone remembered the number.
And I know that because, I see that all the time. But also, whenever, like in our chat rooms that we're in together, I always see your logo. It just says South Carolina Lawyer. So I always remember you're also in South Carolina.
That's correct. Yeah. So I put that in there so that there's no confusion because people would be like, is there any South Carolina lawyers here?
I know.
And I was like, Yanni. So I just kind of did it as a joke, but it's worked because I've gotten some good networking done out of it.
Yeah. And I think, so what Yanni's going to teach us today is how he's located in both San Diego, California, handles California cases, also ones nationwide. But also running, I mean, how often do you spend, how much time, like 6 months in a day in South Carolina? Like, what is that?
Yeah, probably something like that. I mean, like, it's the last few years have been true coast to coast. And I thank you for not allowing me to say that, because any chance I get to say it, it makes me sound really successful. But yeah, it is. The last couple of years, it's been a true 50-50. Sometimes every 3 weeks, sometimes every month, sometimes every 2 months. Mm. A lot of it depends on where trials are going, where cases are going, where I need to be, what events are going on, things like that.
Yeah. So we're going to educate our listeners, no matter their age or years of practice, how they can successfully have these two offices. I'm not talking two offices like they're 30-minute drive from each other. I'm talking about a six-hour flight. Actually, they don't even have direct in South Carolina. You got to go to Atlanta most of the time, or Charlotte and jump.
I need to move to LA. So because there's a direct from LA to Charleston.
Oh, really?
On JetBlue. Yeah.
Oh, that must be new.
A little plug for JetBlue there if you want to send me some
JetBlue
tickets.
Has that new first class that's fucking awesome.
Do they? I haven't tried it yet.
It's like Limelight. I don't know what it's called, but it's great.
But so what I do is I fly Delta through Atlanta, and it does add about 5 hours to the trip on the way back. On the way here, I mean, there's no layover, so it's not terrible. It's just on the way back, you lose the 3 hours, plus you have the layover, plus you have...
Yeah, but you're working on the plane most of the time.
Yeah, I'm working, I'm thinking, I'm reading, I'm doing something productive.
Podcast and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay, so when did you start doing two offices across the United States?
So it really started 2017 is when it really started to take off, when I really started to kind of go back and forth. And then 2018, it picked up a lot. 2019 was like on steroids. 2020, COVID hit, and I still went back and forth. But it was this time I had a 747 private flight for half the year because no one else is traveling. It was the safest time to travel was during COVID because no one else is on the plane. And, the last couple of years, it's been a true 50-50. And so about 5 years, roughly.
All right. Let's talk about, for our listeners, how do you do this operationally? What are you on systems? What does your employee structure look like?
That's right. So COVID happened, and what it did was brought everyone to me, what I was doing, right? I was trying to be like, hey, let's do a Zoom. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they're like, oh, what is that? So operationally, a lot of it's virtual. Like I have an employee in California, right? She works remote. And my employee in South Carolina works remote. And then I have some VAs, right? Which is a whole nother.
Wait. You're telling me you're able to run this whole operation, which to me seems massive. And you have two employees and then VAs?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait. Walk me through this. So you have two employees that are virtual that run each of your state offices.
They're local. Well, they're virtual, but they're Americans, like running. Yeah.
But where's your, I mean, do they work from office spaces? Where do you meet clients? What does that look like?
No, so they work from home. Mm. And then I just leverage like the JHQ locations if I need to meet clients here in San Diego or LA, so that's been a great benefit. And I think it's all about leveraging technology to... And also the power of co-counseling, right? You want to have the right partners on certain cases, because if you have the partner case and they have a nice office and you go to there, or, if you are in the depths of discovery or motions, you have the co-counsels. But, at the end of the day, I think, the work is the work, right? So you just got to get it done. And if you don't care about coming into an office, why can't you do it at home?
I mean, I've been a big believer of that, forever. So tell me about your VA, your virtual assistant structure. Kind of what does that look like?
Sure. So on each side, I have an experienced like case manager / paralegal who knows how to run things, right? And can kind of like understands the ins and outs of the business. And so they'll oversee the VAs. And the VAs, I mean, it's an episode on itself. It's very, very tricky to find the right VAs, right? Because these companies are always like, oh, get our VAs. And then you get them and then you're like, oh, they have no experience. They don't know what's going on. You don't even know they're good. Right.
Wow.
And so it's just about like understanding who has what role in finding what you're good, what the people are good at, right? Identifying like, oh, she's good at talking to people. She's good at medical records. She's good
But who's doing all that identification and training? Is it you?
Yeah, for the most part, me, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then my other employees will be like, hey, you know, this girl's good or this guy's good. Mm-hmm. We should put him here. We should put him there. So.
Wow. And so where are these VAs physically located?
South America.
Wow. Yeah. Michael Sanchez, another friend of mine, was texting me that he has a bunch of employees in Honduras. He's got like mm-hmm. 50, 60, and you know, he's down there right now training all of them. And it just fascinates me because, you know, we're trying to teach lawyers how to efficiently run their firm so they don't have bad overhead or debt and be efficient. And it seems like you've mastered this because you have, I mean, you're obviously getting cases through the A33, get Yanni, right? You have these different vehicles, but what does that workflow look like? Because if you're going coast to coast, you're doing meeting clients, you're educating them, you're litigating, like what does that workflow look like?
Yeah. So right now the workflow is a lot. So right now I'm going to try and taper off on some of the more like litigation stuff and more of the day-to-day law stuff to manage more. Right. But then I have to get more employees or, you know, bring on other attorneys or co-counsel, but I'm really selective with my cases. And I think that was a big thing for me. It's like being able to say no, which was very hard when I first started, like any solo, you got to take everything because you want to build your stable, right? Because there's a comfort in having 200 cases there, even if you're not selling them right now. And then also understanding like, hey, you know, these 100 cases I probably shouldn't have taken. Mm. Probably won't take them again, you know? So just managing that. So, you know.
But what do you do then with those cases that you do not take, but still may be profitable for another lawyer?
Yeah. So that's where the co-counseling and trying to find the right referral partners. So that's a big thing. You know, I fumbled a few bags by having the wrong people associated on some cases, right? I mean, everyone's kind
it's of a learning process.
Yeah, it's a learning process. So you create your tribe. You know, being part of JHQ has been great because I want to say everyone's trustworthy. I've not had any issues with everybody. I know you guys do a great job at vetting people.
Yeah, I mean, we just leave it to the membership committee and the members to do it. Right. People always think it's like I get to decide or our board. It's like, no, it's the members to decide.
Yeah,
it's a lawyer.
It's a true democracy in terms of like vetting process. So that works. And just making sure that, that you know, the clients are taken care of. Because if I can't handle the case, you know, I'm not going to sit on it and be like, oh, it's just got to get to the right person.
Yeah. Okay. So then do you have any specific systems that you use for intake to use and find VAs to how you're operating your systems?
Yeah. So I try to leverage as much technology as possible.
Yeah. Cause I see you're always up on our business help channel. You're always up to date on a lot of this stuff. So that's why I ask.
Yeah. So I went to the Chicago ABA Tech Show.
Oh, you did go.
I did in March.
I was supposed to go that one day in March and I fudged it.
It was a great, I actually have the whole, my 45 minute video that I need to get edited of like going around, talking to everybody, learning about a lot of the tech. And I mean, to be brutally honest, like most of the tech is not great.
Yeah.
And it's very few of it is 0 to 1. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I try to identify now.
Peter Thiel, 0 to 1.
Yeah. Right? It's a great book. Read that back in 2016. Mm-hmm. Really helped me kind of open my eyes to like the lack of legal tech. I just wasn't a tech nerd, so I never invented anything, but I knew it was coming. But it's like, and actually I used to read it on the plane rides back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was one of my books. I did that. But you go to ABA Tech Show and you're like, okay, how can I leverage my practice? What can help me just, you know, save time, save money, handle more cases. And so not every tech thing is like viable for everyone. And I think that's a big problem because it's all marketing. It's like, oh, I've signed up for so many things that afterwards I'm like, this is not fit for me.
Yeah.
Like,
and why did you sell for somebody else? Exactly.
You know, like FileVine is great for a lot of firms.
Yeah.
FileVine is not great for me as a small solo.
Yep.
And I've heard it from other solos, but I've heard from bigger firms that FileVine is the answer. I have used all the case management systems from TrialWorks to MyCase to Clio to FileVine to you name it. And, you know, for me, like CasePeer has been the answer.
CasePeer is usually good for the out-of-the-box solo. That out of the box. It's very easy to use.
It's not perfect, but it is good enough. And, of course, in our industry, perfection is enemy progress.
Correct.
So we just got to get it done. So, you know, systems-wise, you know, I use that. Our intake, I haven't found a really good tech intake. I'm kind of trying to work on one myself, because it is also, I think it really is the person behind the phone.
It's the person. You can have systems like we use, we're on Clio now and mm-hmm. use the Clio Grow product. We use the Ping Alert if we are, you know, overstaffed. But it's all the person that runs, like Eric Heath, who runs our pre-litigation department. It's up to him and his team. And that's usually the catalyst. Is he going to be the one that he and his team that picks up the phone eventually talks to people?
Yeah.
No matter what system you're putting it into, that's what it is.
Right. And I think, you know, people still want to have that human connection mm-hmm. and not just, you know, but so I try to do, I virtually do all my intakes still, like me.
Wow. Really?
So, because, you know, my cases come, I'm not a big volume firm. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all referrals. I'm trying to get the number out there. I'm trying to build that now, the new website coming and all that. But for now, it's, you know, a lot of it is just me like having that relationship, because that was what I built my firm on, was the relationships. Was that, hey, you're going to have access to me. You're just not going to get thrown into the ether.
So then what happens? New case gets pinged through. Does it automatically go into your case management software? Does somebody manually enter it? Where does the use of the VAs come in?
Yeah, so it will go into the case bearer as like a new intake, because I just want their information anyways for a couple of reasons. Number one, if we don't take the case, I need to send the drop letter, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, if we do take it, it's already in there. And then also we have their info to market to them later. For whatever reason. So everything goes in there, and then it gets reviewed very quickly, you know, within 12, 24 hours. You know, we want, if it's a big case, they know, just get me on the line right away. Mm-hmm. Let's try to close it and get the people help, because that first like 48 hours is so critical, because you don't know when they came to you. They came to you right away. There's video surveillance footage you need to get. There's like all kinds of things, right? So it's really just really important. Like, you get the client and then you have what you need to continue to prosecute.
And this all, I mean, again, you're doing all of this virtually at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
client intake, call, setup, VAs, this is all done on a cloud.
Virtually done on the cloud.
Or in the cloud. So in the cloud. Physically.
In a cloud. You know, and if somebody wants to meet in person, I will. Right. Mm-hmm. So in San Diego, and like I said, I have the GHQ locations. Mm-hmm. In Charleston, there's similar things where you can go rent a nice office space or use a friend's office or whatever it is. So it's not like I can't do it. Right. But I just find most people just don't care. They'll come to their house, Starbucks, whatever. They just want the attorney working on the case. They don't care about a big fancy office.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know.
Whoever's most convenient.
The convenience and just eliminating friction points is like every day I wake up, I'm like, what friction can I eliminate today?
Let's talk about it. Again, these are solutions for our listeners. What do you do about your mail?
Mail's a problem. I'm very lucky to have a really good neighbor. Mm-hmm. Who will go to my P.O. box like once a week when I'm not here, if I'm gone for, you know, and get it and scan it in for me or mail it to me. That's not really like a scalable business model, right? But I'm very fortunate to have that on both sides.
Yeah, there's some places, you know, that can scan and OCR your mail for you.
So
forward it to you. Your VAs can pick it up.
There are
in your case management system, that kind of stuff.
I haven't explored that yet because I've heard mixed results, because I don't want something to get missed. I'm just like deathly afraid of like an MSJ coming through the mail and it just being like missed or something, or a check getting lost. Well,
yeah, but a lot of these court systems are moving to, you got to email serve.
Yes.
A lot of these too.
That's right.
The federal court, you have to.
Yeah.
Auditors, you have to.
Right. So that's kind of coming. So I have one central mailing. That way everything's at least going there. And so, you know, pre-lit, we're pretty, you know, stout. And then, you know, when litigation, you really get in the weeds on litigation, right? So what litigation tools are there? There's not a lot of great ones, but, you know, ABA Tech Show, one in the Startup Alley was Esquire Tech.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So, we use that product every day.
I use it all the time, you know, because I front load a lot of my work, right? So when I take the intake, that first couple of weeks, the clients are also getting discovery to respond.
So you're already getting it done.
Oh, yeah. Because it takes them forever anyways, right?
So get it out of the way. You know what they're going to ask.
I know they're going to ask on the frogs. I know basic documents, right? And so I'm like, just start now.
See, now this is, well, I know Esquire Tech's working on it. Do they already have integrations with CasePeer?
I think they just, my case. They just did my case.
Okay, so I know it's coming with Clio, because we put them in touch. Because again, it's great to have it just push directly into your case management software.
Yes. And so that's a thing where I think CasePeer should be coming up soon. And I'm excited for that, because that's just one less step.
Yeah. The automation of discovery makes our lives, again, on our side, we're getting paid perhaps not per hour. So we got to be as efficient as possible.
That's right.
So talk to me then. Okay. We get through discovery process. You know, the big hiccup next is usually expert discovery, then into trial. What solutions have you found to be good for that?
Really, really good co-counsels for me. Yeah. I mean, that's just straight up. I don't think there's any tech that I know of that can replace like the human brain right now, right? I mean, the ChatGPT, CoCounsel are all beneficial. You know, CoCounsel just signed up for, and it does help me with my memos.
Oh, yeah.
But it still takes a lawyer to lawyer.
Yeah, you still have to lawyer.
Still have to lawyer, right?
You still got to take these expert depositions. You still got to do the physical trial. And I think that's, and I'm glad, like the way that you have your firm set up, a lot of lawyers should have it set up that way, because you must have a, like a high quality of life to be able to live your life, to go to South Carolina, San Diego and back.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have like the best of both worlds. I mean, it's not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. In the solo realm, you're like, oh, I wish I had a partner.
Then I talk you're to true my, solo.
No, I know.
It's awesome.
And I talk to my friends who have partners like, oh, I wish I was solo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's always like that give and
take. But you should have a partner on, but on a case specific.
Yeah, it's, I have a lot of partners, I say. Yeah. I have partners on a lot of cases, right? In JHQ, I have a lot of partners in JHQ. And the great thing is like, it's like fractional partners too.
Yeah.
Because the concern is like people are like, oh, you have half the equity. Well, first of all, in some cases, like you should, because it's the right thing to do and you'll get more even after the equity. But sometimes I'm like, hey, man, how about 20 points? How about 15 points?
Yeah.
Come in, take these depots, come in, help me discovery or
write this MSJ or oppose this MSJ.
And I use it all the time. I mean, I just wrote an MSJ on another case and I hired someone to do it, you know, on a flat fee basis, but it would take me like all week.
Yeah. We do sometimes flat fee or equity points to do that kind of stuff.
Like, yeah, when it makes sense. So I think just like thinking outside the box, getting creative and getting out of that mentality, which I think a lot of people are now.
Hopefully
more things are coming out. But I mean, we're in like the mid 90s in legal tech. Maybe Jesus, we're hitting 2000. I know. Right?
We're not even in the .com of legal tech.
Yeah, no, I really feel like that. And I think with the AI stuff, it'll take a leap.
It'll push it. Yeah. We hope so. All right, Yanni. So we're about out of time here. You know, we just want to give people a snapshot on how to run and have a bi-coastal practice and to have a quality of life and to do it as you. I didn't realize you were actually a true solo. I thought you might have had a lot bigger operations. That's very impressive. Very impressive.
Thank you. Yes.
Any other just parting advice, last word here for our listeners here?
Yeah, I think the big thing is you have to want to do it. So it requires a lot of intention to do this. And if you're going to just kind of say, oh, you know, then I'm going to go back and forth, like you're just going to be bouncing for no reasons. And, you know, now I'm licensed in Texas now.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to Texas next week. So you really got to be there. You can say all the virtual you want, but there's no replacement for being there. So if you're going to try, you're going to do it. I'm happy to give you everything. But you really need to be there, not only intentionally in your mind, but also physically. You got to
physically be there. Yeah. Yeah, we have offices in Austin. If you need extra space, we're there. You know, it's pretty cool. Frank Papps is there too.
Yep, Frank's over there.
Kevin Vittoriano is there too with us all in the same little beehive down there. But yeah, I think that's good. I see you got your boots on. So congratulations, getting ready for Texas or Tejas, as they say.
Tejas.
All right, mi amigo. Hasta luego.
All right. Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks
so much. Thank you for this edition of the Justice Team Podcast. Go to justiceteamnetwork.com. Any questions or concerns, or if you want to be on the show. Thanks, Yanni, for coming in. Get Yanni. Get paid.